It's the biggest game of the season for the Patriots as they take on the Steelers in what could be a preview of the AFC Championship. We've got just the guy to talk to, CBS football analyst and former Steelers coach Bill Cowher. It's Friday, December 15th. I'm Chad Finn in for Chris Gasper, and this is Season Ticket. Bill Cowher, welcome to Season Ticket.
Great to be here.
It seems like we've been anticipating this game. Bill Belichick would never admit it, but I think Patriots fans and Mike Tomlin, anyway, have been anticipating this Patriots-Steelers game for a while. Is it one you were looking ahead to on the schedule a little bit, too, even with the old coach's mindset of taking it week by week?
Well, I know. I'm not coaching, so and being in the studio, I think we're all looking forward to this game and obviously hoping that it would live up to the anticipation with everything that would be at stake, and I think it has. I think I think everyone's looking at this game with the understanding that this quite frankly, the winner of this game could, I think these two teams meeting again will determine where they play this next game. So a lot at stake, a lot of playoff implications, obviously. But at the same time, it's two teams that also have a great history of playing important games.
Is this something that we might have been able to foresee as far back as when the schedule came out or in the first couple weeks of the season when things started taking shape, especially after the Patriots got rolling after a slow start? Did you look at these teams back in August, September, and say, you know what, they could be on a collision course later in the season?
Yeah, I mean, you do. Again, I think the biggest thing you just never know is obviously from an injury standpoint, we've seen, some teams, Deshaun Watson go down, obviously Carson Wentz. And I think the biggest thing you just like to see at this point when you see these storylines start to unfold, AFC and NFC is, games like this that have great playoff implications, that have got great history, two of the best teams in this conference matching up. And while it is a regular season game, it's also a game where, if you do meet again, you have that experience and you have that ability to lean on something that's tangible as opposed to what you did from last year, because last year's team was last year. These two teams are distinctly different. And so this game gives you a familiarity that you will have if indeed you meet again, which I think we all anticipate that happening, but you take nothing for granted. But, a lot of implications with it, I think, like we just said, these right now are two best teams in the AFC.
It is different every year, but you look at these two teams and there's continuity, incredible continuity for both of them. We've had Bill Belichick here since 2000. Tom Brady's been the starting quarterback since 2001. Mike Tomlin, your successor with the Steelers, has been there since 2007. There is real familiarity and a high-stakes familiarity with these two teams. What is it that they both do that have enabled them to be so good for so long?
Well, I mean, you're talking about people that have been able to have owners and they've had success. So you have the same systems in place. I mean, if you look at Tom Brady, he's been in the same system now for, 15 years, 16 years. And so there's a lot to be said for growth, for development, for bringing young players in and anybody in. When it's the same system, it's one or two players learning every year as opposed to 11 people when you have to change coaches. So I think when you have the same coach and you have success, you have familiarity with not just, the players around you, but with the same system, it allows you to develop within that. And so I think both these, there's stability, there's familiarity, and that gives you consistency. And really, I think that's the most important thing.
Both teams clearly have star power, superstar power. Brady at quarterback, yeah, for the Patriots. Gronkowski's coming back. Rob Gronkowski at tight end after a one-game suspension. Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, really familiar names, right, of the Steelers. We know them. What is it that they enable the Steelers to do really well, especially this season and how they're playing right now?
Well, I think for the offense, I think, when you look at Pittsburgh, they've been good, but we still were waiting for that breakout game, and you're still looking at a team in Pittsburgh right now. Their last three games, they've won these games with, walk-off field goals. I mean, so it's not like, they haven't been in close games. And I think the same thing goes with New England. I mean, they're used to playing close games, and they're used to playing high-pressure situations. And, when you have playmakers, you have the quarterbacks that you have in this game. These two quarterbacks have, they've won championships. They've been in the biggest stage, so they don't flinch when it gets into the fourth quarter. They get behind, and that's what I love about this type of game, because I think it's the patience you're going to watch these two quarterbacks work with, understanding that, it's a four-quarter game. and they get a feel for what the other team is trying to take away from me, and make sure that I utilize weapons I have, and you see the adjustments that both teams are going to be making. It's the chess match, and I think that's what's great about this game is going to be the chess match between Bill and Mike, between Ben and Tom, and their ability to stay patient and do the little things and win the situational football elements of the game that will really come down to the fourth quarter where both these teams have been used to winning close games.
You mentioned Pittsburgh has had a couple of walk-off wins lately. Is that the old cliche of playing to the level of competition, or is it more that every given Sunday, as another cliche goes, you never know how it's going to be, even if you're facing off with an opponent that may not have a great record at the time?
And I think that is the National Football League. I mean, you sit there and you say, well, how can they lose to Miami after beating them 2 weeks earlier? Because that's the National Football League. And, you know, sometimes you look last week and, you know, two of these three wins for Pittsburgh have been against divisional opponents. And you play a divisional opponent, you don't get intimidated by their record. I mean, so whether you're playing Miami for New England or whether Pittsburgh's playing Baltimore or Cincinnati, you throw the windows out and throw the records out the window, because both these teams are not going to be intimidated by the other team. And all these teams have histories of beating that opponent. And I think so, you know, I think I look at divisional games a little bit differently than you look at teams that, you know, play outside of division. You're playing once every, you know, once a year or every couple of years. You know, that may be more of an indicator of where you are with that particular team as opposed to the divisional game, because then it becomes the familiarity is there, and it just becomes an old-fashioned game that, you know, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose them. And most of the time the good teams are going to win, but when you lose to them team, I wouldn't be alarmed by it. And I think that's my takeaway from New England losing to Miami. I wouldn't be alarmed by it, but again, we all know what's at stake in this game here, which is going to be, I think, a classic.
I wonder about where the Patriots in particular are at this point. You talk about teams being at specific points in the season and maybe peaking or maybe hitting a bit of a lull. Are the Patriots getting to a tipping point specifically on defense where they can't keep having injuries and plugging in guys like Eric Lee, who played all 73 snaps this week after being on Buffalo's practice squad 3 weeks ago? Is there a point where attrition's going to hamper them? Is that point this week?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the National Football League, and I think when you look at these guys, it's amazing what they've done. And as you talked about, I mean, what Matt Patricia has done with what he's had. I mean, now certainly the back end is their communication has been so much better. So that's why I don't look at the stats. I mean, this defense has played really well the second half of the season. I've never seen them down there and against Tampa Bay. You know, coming off a rough start to the season, but they have communicated better. Yes, the pass rush has come and gone, but that's just who they are. And I think when you look for Pittsburgh Steelers just now, it's how do you replace a Ryan Shazier? I mean, who's one of your leading tackler, your leading defender. So everybody's kind of going through that part right now. The season, this is who we are. And so you rely more on your strengths than you worry about your weaknesses. And I think for Pittsburgh, it's like, listen, hand off the baton to the offense. It's time for you guys to show up. And I think right now, defensively, New England, you may get some yards on them, but the one thing that I think they've played great has been situational football. They're good on third down. They're good in the red zone, holding teams to field goals instead of touchdowns. And I think that'll be a big key in this game. I think it's going to be not turning the football over, which team is best on third down, and which team can finish drives and not be held to field goals when they get down in the red zone.
Is it possible to play that bend but don't break style against the team of the talent that Pittsburgh have? I mean, Antonio Brown is an MVP candidate. We know what Le'Veon Bell does in the running game and the passing game, and Roethlisberger is playing really well right now. Can stop between the 20 and the 20, or allow yardage between the 20 and 20, and then stop them when they get in the red zone.
Well, I mean, Pittsburgh has had they've had some struggles this year in finishing drives. They've had some struggles in the red zone. I think that's why they've been involved in a lot of times in these close games, because even though they've moved the ball, at times they found themselves in the red zone not being able to finish the drives and having to settle for field goals. And I think again, therein lies, like, sometimes the difference between when you get good teams. As you start going further into the playoffs, you start going down the stretch now, it comes down to the ability to play great situational football and being able to, whether it be the end of a half, the end of a game, to not flinch, to be able to get that first down that you have to do to keep the drive going and to be able to finish that drive and get the touchdown, not have to kick a field goal. And those are the little things in each game that I think become, as they start to add up, it become the difference between winning and losing games. And I think these two quarterbacks are very masterful in their ability to, you know, make the big plays at the right times.
All right, we'll have more with Bill Cowher after the break. He'll tell us how he thinks Roethlisberger and Brady have evolved over the years. Stay with us. Welcome back. Season Ticket is now available on Spotify. Just search for Season Ticket and follow us there. Of course, you can always subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts. Back now with Bill Cowher, NFL analyst for CBS. Well, let's talk about those two quarterbacks. You coach Ben Roethlisberger as a rookie and a young player. How has he evolved and changed over the years? It still looks like it's like trying to tackle a defensive end when the pass rusher gets to him.
Yeah, you don't see him out of the pocket as much as you had before, only when necessary. But he's got just a great control of his team. I watched him last week, see a blitz coming from the Ravens, and he made changed his protection and found a way to hit Antonio in the window. And he can move defenders with his eyes a lot like Tom does. They're very patient. They throw a great deep ball. I think that's the thing to me is, you look at quarterbacks today is the ability to throw the good deep ball, to keep it in bounds, to put it where the receiver has a chance to make a play. And so these two quarterbacks are really good at that. They're both very patient, I think. I mean, Tom Brady, I just remember going against him all the time. I mean, whether it's a check down to Falk, or now it's a check down to White, or whoever, Deion Lewis, whoever it may be, he always was so patient and never really panicked. And he had that calmness about him in the last minute of a half, the last minute of a game. And I see that in Ben right now. I watched him last week, just sitting there going down the field. They're down by two scores with less than 4 minutes to go. There's no panic on his face. I mean, he just sit there and take what the defense gives him. He's got playmakers around him. Let them do some of the things so they don't force the issue. They have a great feel for the game, and I think that's what makes these two quarterbacks special.
How does he resist forcing the issue when he has Antonio Brown to throw the ball to? He looks uncoverable.
Yeah, he is at times, but I think that's the thing that you see. I think, when you watch him, you're seeing a lot of Antonio Brown in the fourth quarter of these games. And I think the biggest key, I think, for Ben, and I think he realized it, I think he got a little anxious. If you go back to the Jacksonville game early in the season, from the last time they lost a game, it was a little bit of forcing the ball. And so I think with the weapons he has around him, even last week, you see Jesse James gets 10 catches. So the tight end becomes a part of it. Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield becomes a part of it. He's got Martavis Bryant. He gets Juju Smith-Schuster back this week. So he's got enough people to let the game unfold the way it is and let the reads take you to where you need to go. Now, obviously, when it comes crunch time, if you leave Antonio one-on-one, he knows where he's going with the ball.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, there's no question about that. And so, hey, the same thing with Tom. You put Brandon Cooks, you leave him out there one-on-one enough times, he's going to go there with the ball. But both those guys are very masterful at their skill where they will just they'll just plug along, hit James White, hit Le'Veon Bell. Let me get Jesse James 7-8 yards. Those are the things that make good quarterbacks. They don't force it, but when it's there, they'll take it.
I feel like I've asked you this question probably 5 years running in terms of Tom Brady. When does he start showing his age? Now, he's coming off a fairly tough performance against the Dolphins, especially didn't really connect with Cooks as well as you would expect, but those look like aberrations. Does he look like he's right to you, and does he look like a 30-year-old quarterback to you, a 25-year-old quarterback? Certainly not 40, right?
No, he's amazing. I think it's well documented what he does. He takes care of himself, his body, and it shows. Honestly, I mean, if there's ever the consummate pro, and I think you look at him and you look at Drew Brees right now, you look at these quarterbacks that, they've been around and they're taking care of themselves. So suddenly the game is very slow to them because of all the experience that they have. And yet, when I look at Tom Brady, I see there's no greater competitor, I think, that plays any sport. You watch him walk between the lines. The guy is focused. He's fiery. He's calm when he needs to be calm, and he inspires everybody in that huddle. You see him get into his little escapades with Josh when he comes off the sideline, whether it's Josh McDaniels or Bill O'Brien a couple of years ago. We saw all those things, and I love that. I love the passion. He's got great passion, but at the same time, he's got great focus. He knows when to turn it on and turn it off. There's no greater competitor, in my opinion, than watching him quarterback the team and watching Bill coach the team. They have great respect for the game, respect for the opponents, and you see that's why they play so consistently week in, week out.
I never saw you yell at anybody, though.
Hey, listen, I wasn't yelling. I was encouraging.
Oh, there you go. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Well, there was a little bit of, a national story to some degree out of that when Brady and McDaniels got into it a little bit on the sideline. There was one report, some former scout said that might affect McDaniels' image with owners possibly thinking of hiring him as a head coach.
No.
That's absurd, right?
Totally absurd. I mean, listen, to have that kind of passion and to have that kind of rapport with players is not a bad thing. I'll tell you, hey, go back to my 15 years and the time I was on the sideline, I had many of those talks. The thing is today that they never get missed. The cameras never miss them now, but trust me, those have been going on in football for years. It's a passionate game. It's an emotional game, particularly going through the 60 minutes. It's up and down because that's why you put all the work in on the 6 days that lead up to it. So Josh McDaniels is a really good football coach. I mean, Bill's got a great staff, and they have very high standards that they set for themselves. And sometimes when you fall short of them in the course of 60 minutes, it becomes a little heated. It becomes a little emotional. But when it's all said and done, they're fine. They're on the same page when they go back out there, trust me.
Is that part of the fun of it anyway? You get to bark at somebody and then have the camaraderie talking about it afterwards?
Yeah, it really is. Honestly, I remember just sitting there talking to our staff. I said, let me tell you something. When come Sunday, listen, my emotions, some of us wear them on our sleeves. Some of us can hold them in. I wear them on my sleeves. But don't take anything I'm going to say personally. Don't take it personal. Just know in the heat of battle, listen to what we're saying. Be respectful of it. We won't cross the line, but we may touch a nerve every now and then. And I get it. Because if you're not totally engaged, then it wouldn't bother you. But when you're engaged like that, sometimes you say something like it can spark an emotion.
And
that's football. That's being a competitor. You know, and that's what that arena is about. So I think it's a good thing at times. Obviously, you don't want to cross that line. You don't want to get where it gets disrespectful. And sometimes you got to like apologize afterwards. Like, I'm sorry. You're like, I get it. So listen, so many times you leave that field and you're like, you know, I probably shouldn't have overreacted like I did. You're right. And I didn't. But you get the heat of the moment. It happens.
NFL Films is really grateful, by the way, that was your approach. You gave them a lot of footage through the
years. Yeah, I know. I many of those, trust me.
You ran into Brady a few times when he was becoming Tom Brady early in the 2000s. Yeah. What did you think of him then, and what did you think of he would become as an NFL quarterback over the long haul?
Well, you know, when you watched him come in, we sat there, and I remember him sitting behind Drew, and you know, Drew gets hurt and all of a sudden he comes in. And I remember coaching him in the Pro Bowl after his first year, after they beat us in 2001. I mean, so we lost that championship game in 2001, and he got hurt early in the game. Drew came in and you guys blocked a field goal and returned a punt. And, you know, we had all of the stats were in our favor. We lost the game. And
right.
I said, you know, and I remember being with Tom out in the Pro Bowl and just, you know, he was frail then. I look at him now and I've seen him like this 15 years later, and like you can tell he's taking care of his body, but he was a student of the game. I mean, he was able to sit back and you think about the time that he was sat behind Drew and just watched the game and prepared for the game. And just, you know, he's been a guy that, you know, he wasn't handed anything from the very beginning, and so he had a work ethic, a respect, an approach to the game that was kind of built around having a chip on your shoulder and like define all the odds. And he did that, and I don't think he's ever lost that, to be quite honest.
No,
I don't think he ever's gotten caught up with what he's done, and he doesn't think about what he's done. He's more caught up in the moment and just embracing the process, and in just whatever happens is going to happen. And here he is 16 years later still doing it, doesn't think about, well, you won all these championships and how much longer are you going to go? I don't know. I'm just worried about next week. And so that's just who he is. And that's the way Bill is. And so they're really good for each other because I think they stay in the moment and they don't reflect. They don't ponder. You know, they probably do. I'm sure they do in their moments when it's all said and done, but they're very, very focused individuals. And I think that's a great way to be consistent as they've been. And I think it shows in the performance of both those guys, Bill and Tom.
Last one for you, Bill. I hate making predictions myself. I don't like to ask people to make predictions, so I'll ask you instead, how do you see the game sort of unfolding from the beginning to the end?
I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll be interesting to me what New England does. I mean, number one, Pittsburgh has played very well. These last four games are averaging 35 points a game in at Heinz Field. And so you have to think offensively, what's the best way to keep that offense off the field is to control the ball offensively. Now, I've seen New England control the ball by going no huddle and using the short passing game with the receivers. Can you do you take advantage of the mismatches with no Shazier? The inside linebackers are not great cover people. We've seen them be vulnerable to the run. I've seen Bill come out and sit there, put the fullback in the backfield and run the football with this Gillislee come off the bench. You know, who knows? We haven't seen him in weeks. Maybe this is a game where he comes off the bench and they start to run the ball with him. So it'll be interesting to see the approach that they take. And I think from a defensive standpoint, I think it's, you know, you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to tackle well, take away the big play. I mean, we've seen what Antonio Brown can do and how patient will they be on defense. And so I think it's a game that comes down, in my opinion, to three areas. Number one, you can't turn the football over. And I think that because both these offenses, I think, can take advantage of that. Number two will be third down. We saw the inability of New England offense last week. When they don't convert third downs, they don't have rhythm. They don't get in sync. And Tom looks out of sync. And I think when you see, like you said,
yeah,
he didn't look on because, you know what, they're so used to having – 5-6 play drives, but they could not convert a third down last week.
Not one, right?
So, and that's so unlike them. So I think that is going to be a key for both these teams. And I think the last one, the most important one, can you finish drives with touchdowns and not have to settle for field goals?
Yeah.
Because I think these two offenses can go up and down the field, but I think the team that can finish it, and that's where getting Rob Gronkowski back, particularly in the red zone, will be a big, big thing, plus for these guys. And for Pittsburgh, who had trouble leading up until last week, they had trouble finishing drives as well. So I think these two teams, offensively, while they move the ball well, which one can finish these drives and can score touchdowns and not to settle for field goals? Because I think this could be one of those high-scoring games where they're going to lead on their offenses. And whoever has the ball last, what is the deficit? Is it a one-point deficit or is it a four-point deficit?
Yeah.
You know, so, and a lot of those could be determined based on how you do earlier in the game in terms of finishing drives, touchdown, or field goal.
So it sounds like your prediction is suspense then.
Yeah, it's going to be a classic game. And I think it's going to be this will be round one. I think there's going to be a second round
that.
That's going to take place. And so round one will be determined where round two is played. But I tell you what, round two is sudden death. Round one, they're going to make me meet again. Round two will be sudden death.
All right, I'm counting that one as a prediction then. It's that, Bill, thanks for coming on. You know, 10 years now, more than 10 years at CBS, you sound more like a TV guy than a coach, I got to say.
Hey, listen, it's fun. Games like this are fun to talk about. They really are. And I've coached in them before, but it's fun to watch these guys watch this thing unfold on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you again for coming on Season Ticket, right, Bill. Very much appreciated.
All right. Take care.
You can find Bill Cowher on Twitter. His handle is @CowherCBS. And that's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Season Ticket is produced by Steve Safran, Josh Swartz, Scott Thurston, Joe Sullivan, John Perotti, Paul Vikas, Jessica Alpert, Matthew Reed, and our intern, Brendan Coughlin. I'm Chad Finn, and for Chris Gasper, have a good weekend, and we'll see you Monday.